From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. The chairman and CEO of ExxonMobil, Rex Tillerson, has been given the nod by President-elect Donald Trump to serve as his Secretary of State. He's got the nomination coming. America's voice in foreign policy and diplomacy worldwide. Awarded the Order of Friendship by Russian President Vladimir Putin, Tillerson's global ties and big corporate interests have senators on both sides raising red flags on his nomination. Condoleezza Rice says he's the guy. This hour on Point, ExxonMobil's chief to the fore, American foreign policy if it's Trump and Tillerson. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Is this the right resume for Secretary of State? Do his ties to Russia ring alarm bells with you? Do they show he has experience on the world stage? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me now from Washington is Margaret Tolliff, Senior White House Correspondent for Bloomberg News. Margaret Tolliff, great to have you here today.
Hi, Tom. It's great to be here.
And with us from Washington, James Osborne, energy correspondent for the Houston Chronicle and Hearst newspapers. James Osborne, welcome to On Point. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
James, first to you. Rex Tillerson, in the energy world, in the oil and gas and fossil fuels world, what is the reputation of the chairman and CEO of ExxonMobil, now Donald Trump's pick to be Secretary of State?
Well, he's been running Exxon for a decade. He's run that company through a difficult time. Oil prices, have been historic lows the last few years. But, generally, I think Tillerson's well regarded. That he's sort of steered the company through what has been a difficult time. It's done better than other oil companies. But he's a man who's worked internationally for a lot of his career. He worked at Russia and Yemen in the 1990s, leading oil and gas operations there. So he's known as like a steady hand abroad, and especially when it comes to Russia, he's known for having a relationship with Vladimir Putin. A couple years ago, he was awarded the Order of Friendship, which is the highest honor that Russia can denotes on a foreigner. So he's got a reputation as someone who knows his way around the world, who has existing relationships. And, he's run one of the world's largest oil companies through what has been a difficult time these last few years.
Margaret Tolliff, the idea of the head of ExxonMobil now being the head of U.S. foreign policy, shocking to some. What kind of reception are you hearing in Washington today?
This is really interesting to watch the sort of battle lines be drawn, and they're soft battle lines right now. And there are a couple of reasons why. We've seen a few Republicans whose names will be very familiar to everybody express their skepticism about this. This is sort of that dynamic duo of John McCain and Lindsey Graham, and also Marco Rubio. Of course, two of those also ran against Donald Trump.
Of course, that guy.
But these are the foreign policy old hands, right? And they have been sort of careful not to attack Tillerson personally so much as to raise real questions about the Russia ties, particularly in light of the intelligence community's estimation that Russia interfered in the election, most recently now saying on behalf of against Hillary Clinton. So there's that aspect of it. But here's a couple of interesting counterpoints to consider. A tweet from Brian Fallon. You all remember Brian Fallon, of course, as Hillary Clinton's national spokesman. Brian Fallon last night saying Tillerson's nomination may well be defeated in the Senate, and rightly so, he says. But the Mnuchin pick, that's the Treasury Secretary pick, is the most defining nomination fight to wage. And we see other Democrats raising questions about, price at HHS, these various other nominations of Donald Trump. So the collective thinking on the part of the Democrats is they can't sort of strategically make every nominee their priority. I mean, they can be against every nominee if they want to, but it's not going to do any good. None of it may do any good. But if they want to have an effective opposition, they have to pick their battle lines. It's not clear that Tillerson is sort of their top concern strategically. And then we have sort of a third component, which is the conservatives, the social conservatives in the Congress. Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council saying on that group's website that of Tillerson, he said, the left, which doesn't usually need a reason to oppose Trump's choices, won't find many here, since the ExxonMobil executive may be the greatest ally liberals have in the cabinet for their abortion and LGBT agendas. Who saw that coming? So we think this is probably mostly a fight about Russia. but it could actually be about a whole lot of other things.
Senator McCain, right out front with his criticism, even before the nomination became more public today. Here he was on Face the Nation on Sunday, saying, watch out, Rex Tillerson and these Russia ties. John McCain, concerned.
He has such a close personal relationship with Vladimir Putin, and obviously they've done enormous deals together, that would color his approach to Vladimir Putin and the Russian threat.
But here's Trump's senior advisor Kellyanne Conway saying it's not like they're going to be pounding down vodka together.
It's not like Vladimir Putin and Rex Tillerson are pounding down vodka at the local bar. They're not intimate friends, but they deal with each other through business interests. And I think most importantly, anybody who is in President Trump's cabinet, particularly the Secretary of State, the fourth highest ranking person in our government, that person will be advancing the interests of the U.S. everywhere.
James Osborne, word is that Condoleezza Rice and Bob Gates, former defense secretary, suggested Rex Tillerson to Donald Trump, that Condi Rice did that in the White House not so long ago. And she's out today saying he'd be an excellent choice, successful businessman and patriot, represents the interests and values of the United States with resolve and commitment. I'm also reading, though, that their consulting firm has done business with ExxonMobil. Why would Condi Rice and Bob Gates be promoting this man for this position, James?
I mean, if you look at his resume, I mean, if you're going to look in the business world, you'd probably be hard pressed to find somebody with more international experience, more relationships with foreign leaders than the CEO of ExxonMobil. It's just such a huge company with operations in so many different countries. A lot of them, you know, countries that are not necessarily easy to operate in. You know, Tillerson's worked in Yemen and Russia. Donald Trump has obviously shown that he has an interest in bringing people from the business world into government. And when it comes to, if you're going to, you know, talk about diplomacy, you'd probably be, like I said, be hard pressed to find somebody with more experience than Tillerson.
How on earth do we unravel the interests of ExxonMobil? I mean, I'm reading everything from 150 to 240 million in stock he owns in ExxonMobil. And of course, a very well compensated man. I mean, in the last few years, 40 million, 33 million, 27 million in annual compensation. They've got enormous deals, including this big Arctic deal, $300 billion plus, that's on hold because of sanctions over Ukraine. Now, even if he should sell all those shares in Exxon, I don't even know if he can do that. I assume some of them are still vesting over some period of time. I don't know how that works. But he's been there for 40 years. How can we imagine that as Secretary of State, he would put the interests of the United States above those of ExxonMobil when you've got billions, I don't know, trillions on the line, James?
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is a question, you know, a critical question that's going to come up when he goes before the Senate. But I mean, there's not precedent here. Hank Paulson, you know, was the Goldman Sachs CEO and he became Treasury Secretary. He had to do a huge divestiture in order to take that role. So, I mean, these are the questions that will come up when you try to bring people from the corporate world in. And, you know, that'll be the question that Tillerson sort of gets posed with. Is he acting in the interest of the American people, or is he giving some favoritism to ExxonMobil, a company he's worked at since he left college? You know, he's been there since 1975, and his whole career has been there. People tell you he's an Exxon man through and through. So moving on from that role, it'd be very interesting to see how he does disentangle himself.
Margaret Talib, did I hear you suggesting that this is not really going to be resisted, that people have other priorities on the Trump cabinet that they're going to go after, that Rex Tillerson is going to be waved through?
I think particularly because of the intelligence concerns raised about Russia, there are going to be very robust confirmation hearings. And I think anything can come out or happen in confirmation hearings. There are going to be deep dives into Exxon deals in places like Nigeria, for example, right? So anything could happen. What I'm saying is that if you look in totality at Donald Trump's cabinet nominations so far, so many of them have raised that kind of either conflict of interest criticism because these are, you know, in some cases, billionaires, in most cases, millionaires with a real tie to a specific business, a specific company, or a specific sector, or just for purely political, ideological reasons because their record is not just different than President Obama's, but like completely the opposite. And they have come out previously saying they want to undo, Obamacare or whatever, what have you. That there are so many choices to make. If you're either a Democrat who is inclined to be opposed to all these nominations, or if you're kind of in that group of Republicans who is maybe a never-Trump Republican or a very concerned or cautious about business conflicts of interest or about just foreign policy, what have you, there's this sort of small group of Republicans who could be the make-or-break difference in confirmation hearings, and the entire Democratic Party, which is trying to figure out how to rebuild itself, how to hang on in places like West Virginia and, you know, congressional districts in Ohio or, you know, those two groups are going to have some real strategic decisions to make, either in concert with one another or separately from one another.
Margaret, what about the climate issue? Here's Rex Tillerson. This is 2012, and he was asked about climate change. It said sort of it's real, but it's an engineering problem. Like, we can handle it. Maybe it's going to go ahead. We can handle it. Here he was.
Changes to weather patterns that move crop production areas around, we'll adapt to that. It's an engineering problem. And it has engineering solutions. And so I don't, the fear factor that people want to throw out there to say, we just have to stop this, I do not accept. It's not a problem that we can't solve.
I do not accept. In effect, he's saying there that we need to stop climate change, engineering problem. James Osborne, the polar ice caps melting, an engineering problem, engineering solutions?
You got to remember, I mean, Rex Tillerson started his career as an engineer out in the oil field. So in his mind, I think a lot of things are engineering problems. Yeah, Tillerson's been an interesting thing for him. You know, he has broken with past Exxon CEOs, in acknowledging that climate change exists. But yeah, his solution to it is engineering, i.e., you know, we can build seawalls, we can shift where we, you know, our farms. But also he's talked about oil as a sort of, as a tool of economic mobility that allows people the world over a better standard of living. So his point is, you know, if we're going to shift off fossil fuels, which, to, you know, in all honesty, provide the vast majority of energy in this world at this point in time, we're going to shift off that. Basically, we're going to have to give up our way of life. And his famous quote was something to the effect of, you know, what good is saving the planet if humanity suffers?
That's one way of looking at it. Of course, environmentalists say, let's go alternative energy, and there's a way. Whether he would take it, one really wonders. James Osborne with the Houston Chronicle, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Margaret Tolliv, senior White House correspondent for Bloomberg. Thanks for being here, Margaret.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Donald Trump's pick for Secretary of State, ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson. You can join the conversation this hour. What do you think of the chief of the world's largest oil company as United States Secretary of State? Are you delighted, dismayed, dumbfounded at the selection by Donald Trump of Rex Tillerson? And can a lifetime oil man have the interests of the whole nation at heart? Do you see a problem in his Russia ties? How do you see this nomination? Big issue for Exxon is getting in and drilling. In October 2011, he talked at the Washington Ideas Forum. This is Rex Tillerson. And he talked about what he saw as onerous American energy development regulations.
So we're accustomed to dealing with government as the mineral owner. The difference is, in other countries, the government wants its natural resources developed. They want to see the activity, and they want it, you know, they want it done properly. So they have just as rigorous a regulatory scheme. But their whole attitude toward resource development is, what can we do to get this to happen? What can we do to cause you to come develop our resources? In this country, it's very different. It's almost, what do we do to make it as difficult for you as we can?
I'm sure it's different in Chad and the United States. He has experience in both. In an interview with MSNBC's Hardball with Chris Matthews, the former U.S. ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul, saying that while Tillerson has done big deals with Vladimir Putin, he's not entirely sure about this pick for Secretary of State with the wider palette of issues that the U.S. Secretary of State faces.
Our relationship with Russia is not just about energy. It's not just about drilling in the Arctic. It's about Syria. It's about Ukraine. It's about the annexation, the illegal annexation of Crimea. It's about North Korea. And I'm just not convinced yet that he understands the full portfolio just in dealing with Russia, let alone the rest of the world.
Yeah. Key nomination, maybe the biggest of all that Donald Trump will make. And today it's the chairman and CEO of ExxonMobil. With me now in the studio is Stephen Walt, professor of international relations at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, big view of the world and foreign policy. Stephen Walt, thanks very much for being here.
Nice to be with you.
Your first reaction to this nomination?
Well, it wasn't a complete surprise.
Certainly not.
It had been signaled for, for quite a while. And what worries me, actually, is that there's going to be an enormous attention paid on the Russia angle for all the reasons you've already discussed here. But we're not going to get nearly enough attention to the broader issue. Some of the things that Mike McFaul was just alluding
to in the clip.
Well, for example, what does Tillerson think about the United Nations? Does he view it as a useful tool that the United States can use to advance its interests, or does he see it as something that just gets in our way, as a constraint on American power?
It's reported that John Bolton will be put up as the Deputy Secretary of State. And of course, even though he served for the U.S. at the U.N., he's a harsh critic of it as an institution overall.
Exactly right. How does Tillerson feel about China's territorial claims in the South China Sea, which, by the way, would include oil and gas drilling rights. What does he think about the Iran deal? It's not clear yet exactly what his view is on that. Does he think the president-elect made a mistake when he said he would get rid of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, this large economic deal in the Pacific that had very clear geostrategic implications?
Tillerson has spoken positively of it in the past, free trade in general and TPP in particular.
Right. And then, of course, you know, other issues like counterterrorism, NAFTA, et cetera, our relationship with Europe, what to do about refugee problems that are challenging some of our European allies. We don't know really what Tillerson thinks about any of those things. And one concern I have is that he'll go to his confirmation hearings and 95% of the questions are going to be about Russia, which some of them clearly should be, but we're not going to get much of a window into what he's going to do with the broader portfolio of American diplomacy and foreign relations.
Step back for a moment and just look at the message it sends the world. There's a lot of talk about American might, military might, but also over time, your colleague at the Kennedy School, Joe Nye, talking about American soft power. That is the attractive power of American ideals and American values. Where's that headed in this Trump administration? If, I mean, Donald Trump speaks in a very, very deal-making mode, not a values mode, but a deal-making mode. And now you've got the head of the largest oil company in the world. This is not exactly the kinder, gentler face of American power. What message does the putting right up at the top of this guy send to the world?
Well, if you view foreign policy as just a series of deals, a series of bilateral arrangements, the way that Exxon would view going into a country, as we just heard, the way Trump appears to view these things, that's very different than an approach to diplomacy which concentrates partly on making deals where necessary, as, for example, the United States did with Iran, but also tries to build long-term relationships, tries to build a certain degree of trust and confidence with countries that we regard as being more or less aligned with our interests. So one of the questions you would want to ask for Tillerson is not just is foreign policy a series of deals, but rather what are American interests? What parts of the world are vital to American security? What parts of the world are vital to America's economic health? What do we want relations with those areas to look like? Now, I think it'd be perfectly appropriate, in fact, desirable for the United States to have a better relationship with Russia. So if Tillerson and Trump are able to work through the various disagreements we now have with Russia and have a more constructive relationship going forward, that would be highly desirable. But you don't want to do this while sacrificing what are broader American interests. And as I said before, there are interests in other parts of the world as well that you can't deal with on a purely, you know, transactional basis. Because once you start dealing with other countries on a just deal after deal after deal, you're encouraging every other country to do the same thing. No lasting partnerships, no relationships built on long-term expectations of cooperation, just what each party thinks it can get in the moment. And I don't think that's a suitable long-term strategy for American diplomacy.
How are we going to know? Take Russia. If Rex Tillerson is working with Russia, and here's the, they got this great big deal that's for ExxonMobil that's on ice, literally, but because of the Ukraine sanctions.
Well, this is the huge problem with the Russia issue, is that anything he does, even things that are apparently attempts to resolve some of our problems with Russia, are going to be questioned for precisely this reason. Is he doing this because it's in American interest, or is he doing this because even if he's sold all his stock, he's naturally inclined by his long professional association position to think that something that's good for Exxon is good for the country. It's going to be questioned. And you've got to add to that, of course, Trump's own relationship here. Lieutenant General Flynn, the new national security
advisor. Trump's own relationship with Russia.
With Russia.
Which we do not entirely understand. It's not entirely transparent.
That's correct. And the fact that there's now, I think, reasons to be concerned about possible Russian interference in the election itself.
The CIA says, yes, there was.
Right. So the point is that given all of that, any step we take to improve relations with Russia under Trump and Tillerson is going to be questioned as to whether or not. It's the exact opposite of Nixon going to China in 1972 when, you know, conservative, hawkish, anti-communist Richard Nixon goes to China.
Yeah.
That was seen as credible. This is the exact opposite. If Trump goes to Moscow
to do deals,
they're going to be questioned, and those questions are going to be valid ones to raise.
Donald Trump was asked by Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday, what the value of appointing ExxonMobil CEO and Chairman Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State.
Why does a business executive make sense as the chief diplomat?
Well, in his case, he's much more than a business executive. I mean, he's a world-class player. He's in charge of, I guess, the largest company in the world. He's in charge of an oil company that's pretty much double the size of his next nearest competitor. It's been a company that's been unbelievably managed. And to me, a great advantage is he knows many of the players.
He knows the players. Huge company. Stephen Walt, please stand by with me here in the studio. I want to go to Dr. Michael Burgess, Republican congressman representing the 26th District of Texas, including parts of Dallas-Fort Worth. He's on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, supports Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State. Congressman Burgess, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, hello, Tom. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Sure. Good to have you. Why do you support Chairman and CEO of ExxonMobil for U.S. Secretary of State?
Well, first off, I've known Mr. Tillerson for a while. He is, in fact, a constituent of the 26th Congressional District in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So he lives back home in North Texas. Certainly one of the most stand-up folks I've ever met in and out of politics. And
past president of the Boy Scouts of America, no less.
I've actually had the opportunity to, I mean, he has come before our Energy and Commerce Committee in the past, and I've seen his performance in front of a congressional committee, not all of which was friendly to him. In fact, Republicans were in the minority last time. I believe Mr. Tillerson was before the energy panel on the House side, and he can do very well. He can hold his own with sometimes hostile questions from the dais. So I think he is the total package, and it certainly wasn't something that I saw coming. It certainly was something that I think may very well define the Trump cabinet. He's willing to go other places than the traditional political realms to assemble his cabinet. And I think that's a net positive.
Are you going to be comfortable with his relationships, close relationships, with Russian leadership, with Vladimir Putin, with the head guy at Rosneft, the big Russian oil company? I mean, they appear to be almost buddy-buddy. Kellyanne Conway says it's not like they're out pounding down vodka together, but they've done enormous deals. Vladimir Putin has lavished top Russian honors on him. Can he keep American interests at the forefront? And American overall national interest as opposed to ExxonMobil interest, Congressman.
Well, I don't think there's any question that he will be able to do that, which you are posing. I think, you know, do bear in mind, I mean, here's an individual who has represented his company now since, I believe, 2004 or 2006, and he's done it well around the globe. It is a company that has multiple locations in multiple countries. And, you know, here's...
Yeah, but we're a whole country. We have bigger interest than ExxonMobil, right?
That is correct. But you know, it's a big job when you're tasked now to manage essentially what is a large federal bureaucracy. The State Department has some 30,000 employees. Exxon, I believe, has twice that number. So he has experience in managing a big organization, and I think that's a positive as well.
Congressman, do you think that Donald Trump talking with Mitt Romney was for real? Or was that toying with someone who criticized him during the campaign? I mean, Roger Stone, Donald Trump's longtime friend and formal advisor, has said in the last couple of days that Romney was brought in. So he said Donald Trump talked with him just to torture him.
I obviously don't think that is correct. I think Mitt Romney was a legitimate selection that was being considered, and certainly there were a lot of pluses that Mitt Romney would have brought to the equation. There were certainly people on the inside, I'm sure, in the Trump campaign who remembered the sometimes divisive language during the campaign. But, I mean, for goodness sakes, it's a campaign for presidency of the United States. All of the discussions are not always pleasant.
Stephen Wald is with us as well, Congressman, international relations at Harvard. Stephen, what about the parade of options that Donald Trump looked at and this choice among them?
Well, I think that does indicate the degree to which the transition has had a certain haphazard quality. There's, you know, stories that they didn't actually expect to win at the last minute and suddenly found themselves to fill a
though lots of presidents-elect look at more than one candidate for a job.
And the public, what was different about this was the degree of publicity. Normally, mm-hmm. a lot of these things are done rather quietly so that if you don't pick someone, it's not embarrassing to them mm-hmm. or whatever, as opposed to the sort of a series of auditions that Trump performed in public. I think that also suggests that Trump, you know, is very skillful at diplomacy, at publicity, and mm-hmm. getting lots of people to pay attention, waiting for the puff of white smoke to appear above the chimney.
Yeah. It's hard to go into Trump Tower and not be recognized by the array of media that are outside.
That's true.
It's not something that can be done quietly. It is. It's a very public production that people are going to Trump Tower to interview with the. With the transition.
Fair enough. Donald Trump knows that very well. I mean, that's where he's invited them to come.
And somehow lots of other president-elects have managed to do this more discreetly than Trump did. But I think this does raise a larger question with Tillerson or whoever ends up being Secretary of State, and that is, what's the overall team in foreign policy going to look like? Given how it's been picked, how is he going to play with General Mattis, Secretary of Defense? How is he going to play with General Flynn, National mm-hmm. Security Agency? Is this going to be sort of a Game of Thrones administration?
Who's in charge? Who's large?
Separate fiefdoms. Is he going to be a figurehead Secretary of State, as, say, William Rogers was, or to some degree even Hillary Clinton, who was not given an enormous amount of policy authority when she was Secretary of State? Or is he going to have a close and intimate relationship like James Baker had with the elder President Bush, where Baker really did speak for the president and everyone knew it? We don't know any of that yet.
Congressman Burgess, we read that Steve Bannon, inside advisor to Donald Trump, supported the Tillerson nomination. That suggests some kind of sway in the inner circle.
I don't know Steve Bannon at all, so I have no reason to dispute what you're saying, but I don't know that to be a fact.
What do you anticipate?
And it was previously mentioned, when Hillary Clinton was the new Secretary of State, there were a lot of the activities of that office that were outsourced to George Mitchell, to Ambassador Holbrooke, and I remember the questions that the press was asking, is Hillary Clinton really in charge? I mean, there is going to be, in addition to the transition, in addition to the inauguration, there is going to be a period of time where people settle into their new roles. I don't know how long that will take. For some administrations, it's taken longer than others. This has been an unconventional candidate right the way through. He's now an unconventional president-elect. Suffice it to say, I don't think any of us can look into the future and know with absolute certainty what is going to occur. But I do like the amount of what I would disagree that the haphazard comment. Mm. I think there's been a great deal of care. And bringing in people who are non-traditional, this is certainly this was not something that was talked about during the campaign. Hey, let's get someone from the corporate world to be our Secretary of State. But I think Donald Trump has hit upon just exactly the right choice.
What do you expect when this nomination comes before the Senate? It's close there between Republicans and Democrats. It would only take a couple of defections from the Republican side to put this nomination in jeopardy.
Well, that's going to be the case for any nomination that comes before the Senate. But thank you, Harry Reid. The filibuster was nuked when Harry Reid was majority leader.
Only takes 50.
Mm-hmm. And it only takes 51 senators, and there are 52 with Louisiana's election on Saturday. Of Senator Kennedy.
Yep.
So, yes, you will have to hold all the Republican hands, or there may be some Democratic defections. Remember, there are a great deal more Democratic senators who are up in 2018 than there are Republicans, many of whom will be running in states that were won by Donald Trump during the presidential election. So I'm certain there's bound to be a number of political calculations that are done.
And if you were to have a vote, it sounds like you're solid for your Texas oil man, your constituent.
Well, I think he just has on a personal level, really, I mean, he's good folks. I just don't know how else to describe it to you. He's the real deal. What you see is what you get. And there's no pretense with Rex Tillerson.
Dr. Michael Burgess, Congressman representing the 26th District in Texas, thank you very much for being with us.
Good deal. Thank you, Tom.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Blue Apron, providing pre-portioned, fresh ingredients with easy recipes delivered to your door. Check out this week's menu and get three meals free with free shipping at blueapron.com/onpoint. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Donald Trump's pick for Secretary of State, ExxonMobil Chairman and CEO Rex Tillerson. You can join us this hour. How do you look at this? Can a lifetime oil chief represent the U.S. right on climate change? Can he put the planet above ExxonMobil's interests? Can he credibly stand up for broader, higher American values? What's your bottom line on Rex Tillerson today? Nancy Cordes joins us in just a moment here from CBS News congressional correspondent to look at how this may go down in Congress. With me in the studio, Stephen Walt, professor of international relations at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. There's been plenty of controversy around Exxon, of course, not least of which the founding family of the company, if you go back far enough, the Rockefellers, have been challenging Exxon. There's been a lot of reporting done saying that they knew about climate change. They hid what they knew, sort of like tobacco companies hid what they knew about smoking cigarettes. And Rockefeller is looking for a kind of comeuppance here. We talked with David Kaiser, president of the Rockefeller Family Foundation, just a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about his battle with ExxonMobil. He said the reason why there's so much doubt about climate change is in part due to ExxonMobil.
ExxonMobil bears a lot of responsibility for that. They owe it to the American people to explain to them that this whole so-called debate over climate science has in fact been a con.
And there are lawsuits out there around that right now looking for damages on that front. Confirmation also coming out today that Rick Perry, former Texas governor, will be Secretary of Energy. They've got a big role as well here on nuclear energy, on the environment. Of course, he was very critical of Donald Trump back when he was also running for president. Here he was at a forum in Washington, D.C. last year. Rick Perry, up now for Energy Secretary.
Let no one be mistaken. Donald Trump's candidacy is a cancer on conservatism, and it must be clearly diagnosed, excised, and discarded.
A cancer on conservatism. There, Rick Perry talking about Donald Trump, the president-elect who's now put him in as energy secretary or nominated. Carol in New Orleans, Louisiana. Carol, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. Hello, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I am very concerned. I mean, it's almost like a chess game that Donald Trump's playing with Russia. Steve Bannon, Flynn, Paul Manafort, as well as this Tillerson character, they're all like chess pieces from Putin. They've all had close relationships with him, done business deals. They've garnered money. I mean, so how is anyone who lives in a city on the coast of the United States supposed to think this is okay?
The coast meaning what? Because you're worried about sea rise there in New Orleans?
I'm worried about government, national government in general, and a destabilized democracy in the United States. I think, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to kind of figure out what's happening here. It doesn't look good.
Carol, I appreciate your call.
Our country?
Yeah. We've got it. Stephen Walt, speak to this. I mean, for an American citizen looking at these ties, at Donald Trump speaking so highly of Vladimir Putin, who you've got, you know, John McCain out there calling a thug and a dictator, and lots of business ties, the biggest possible business ties between Rex Tillerson and Russia. I mean, people begin to wonder, and then the CIA says Russia actively interfered on behalf of Donald Trump. Are American citizens right to wonder if there's something funky in this relationship?
I think they are. Again, as I said before, a better relationship with Russia I actually think would be in the United States' interest. But you don't get that better relationship by simply turning a blind eye to everything that Russia has done. And most importantly, for me at least, was the possibility that Russia has in fact been interfering in various ways to try and affect American elections.
And you want it based on U.S. interests, not on some business deal that ExxonMobil or Donald Trump did or might do.
That's right. That's precisely precisely it. And the other question here is that if the primary objective of a Trump administration in foreign policy is going to be improve relations with Russia, that that's their big aim, this is ultimately not a game changer. It would be better if we had a more constructive, workable relationship with Russia. But it's not going to suddenly alter the global balance of power in some fundamental way. It's not going to suddenly give the United States 4% economic growth, which Trump has promised. In this case, the Obama administration basically had it right. Russia is a great power that we have to take seriously, but it is also a declining power. Its economy has been shrinking. It is essentially a one-crop economy based primarily on energy.
So what do you make of Donald Trump's great admiration repeatedly expressed for Putin?
I think he sees in someone like Putin and perhaps some other authoritarian leaders a quote-unquote strong leader who acts on his own, who is not subject to rules, who's clever, and who's responded with sort of greater resolve than he thinks the United States has. I don't think he wants to necessarily imitate Putin in every way, but I'm actually more concerned that he sees in people like Putin and possibly, President Erdogan in Turkey, or Prime Minister Erdogan in Turkey, and other authoritarian leaders, a model for how modern governance has to work, paying less attention to rules, less attention to the Constitution, and doing what has to be done to get your way. In a sense, I'm more worried about what might happen here in the United States imitating
Russia. If you bring
Russia,
that stuff home.
Right, exactly. That's a larger danger than anything that might happen in foreign policy.
I want to come back and look at the foreign policy picture, but these concerns will have a full expression, no doubt, when this nomination comes to Capitol Hill. Nancy Cordes is congressional correspondent for CBS News and joins us now from Washington. Nancy, thanks for being here. What kind of reception do you anticipate for Rex Tillerson, ExxonMobil chief, for Rick Perry, former governor of Texas, now up for energy secretary?
Well, it looks like there's going to be a fight, Tom, even before this gets to the full Senate, because the Foreign Relations Committee so far appears to be split, at least among Republicans, which is, which he has to win over first, because the Republicans have to assume that a lot of Democrats at the end of the day could end up voting against Tillerson. And so you've got Marco Rubio on that committee. He has said he has serious concerns about Tillerson as Secretary of State. You've got Rand Paul on that committee, who has said he will do everything in his power to block John Bolton to be number two, as he is rumored to be about to be chosen by Donald Trump to be the number two at Secretary of State. So you're already seeing some divisions. On the other hand, there are a lot of Republicans today who are cheering the choice of Rex Tillerson. Jeff Flake, who has never been a big booster of Donald Trump, actually tweeted today, Senator from Arizona, that the fact that Condi Rice and James Baker and Bob Gates are all recommending Tillerson carries considerable weight. And there are a number of Republicans who feel that Tillerson's business experience, his relationship not just with Putin, but with a whole host of international leaders, will serve him well, even if he hasn't had formal foreign policy experience.
Nancy, let me get a call for you in Savannah, Georgia. Omar's calling. Omar, thank you for calling. You're on the air with Nancy Cordes and Stephen Walt.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to get the opinion of the panel. Historically, for instance, 50% of military brass, when they retire, go into lobbying or the military-industrial complex. Historically, the vast majority of representatives and senators, if they weren't millionaires when they went in, even after one term, they are.
I don't know about historically, but recently there's certainly been a surge in wealth in the Congress. Yes. Where are you going, Omar?
True. Well, I just wonder, Donald Trump is putting a lot of this, the high-powered business and bringing in the brass and these consultants that have been in the business world since retirement. And I wonder if they think that this is, perhaps he's just exposing this system for the way that it's been, or is there a paradigm shift happening? Saying no, I'm changing the dynamic now. So just your opinion on that.
Yep.
That question.
We'll pick it up. Nancy Cordes, a lot of business people here. That's not entirely new, of course. There have been others in other administrations, but plenty of billionaires here as well. Do you see a shift in the weight of money and background that's very distinctive here? A little distinctive here?
I think it's very distinctive, and I think it's a reflection of who Donald Trump is and what he wants this government to look like. I mean, one of his biggest arguments throughout the campaign was that the government it needs to be run more like a business, and specifically like his business, and that you have to pick people who know how to run things. You know, he said time and time again, I know how to run things, and I can call the shots. And he, so, you know, he's turning to others who he feels have those same qualities to run various agencies that he thinks need to be cleaned up. So, you know, it's not unusual for a cabinet to reflect the person at the top, and I think that that's what's happening here.
You said even before we get to the hearings, there are issues there, but won't the hearings be, this gets resolved one way or another? I mean, it will go there, won't it?
Right, so what I was saying is even before the entire Senate votes, even you know when we're in committee, when we're having those hearings, you know you're going to see a big fight, and it's possible that depending on how those hearings go and how the vote goes, that we will never get to a full vote on the Senate floor if these Republicans are you know who have these grave concerns are able to sway the vote. And I think part of the dynamic that you have here is that there are a number of Republicans, and you've heard from people like you know John McCain and Lindsey Graham in recent days, who have great concerns about Donald Trump's attitude about Russia. And yet, for a lot of Republicans, they're still reluctant at this early point to really come out and criticize Donald Trump directly about his views on Putin and Russia. So in a way, Tillerson kind of becomes a proxy for them. They are able to go after Tillerson. They're able to say, you know, what is this about your relationship with Putin? Why were you given an order of, you know, a medal of friendship?
Yeah.
And don't you know that they're our enemy? Because they can't go after Donald Trump on this issue.
McCain
yet.
Says when he gets the friendship
a wide berth.
McCain says when he gets the friendship award from a butcher, it's an issue that needs to be examined. Whoa, a butcher. All right, we're talking about, I guess, about Vladimir Putin there. Nancy Cordes, it's great for you to come on for a minute here and bring us right up to date on how things look in Congress. We're really grateful for your time today. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Nancy Cordes with CBS News. We're looking at the nomination of Exxon CEO, ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson to be U.S. Secretary of State. Sammy in North Augusta, South Carolina. Sammy, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call very much.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, my take on the whole thing might be a little simplistic. I'm not the smartest person in the world in terms of political views, but I think Rex Tillerson brings a lot to the table from his experience as CEO of ExxonMobil, and that this is probably an opportunity for him from Trump to give back to his country in terms of service. You have to understand that his motivation certainly is not just for a paycheck, being Secretary of State. But
oh, it'll be tiny compared to his paycheck. But are you certain that it'll be about service to country and not service to ExxonMobil, Sammy? I guess that's the bottom line here.
Right. Well, no, I'm. Listen, after this election, I'm not certain about anything. But one thing I am certain of is that Donald Trump seems to have thrown the whole concept of optics out the window in terms of transparency in bringing new blood to the political machine. And I think we ought to give Tillerson a chance.
Sammy, we got it, and I appreciate your call. Stephen Walt, what about on the climate change front? I mean, this is the head of ExxonMobil. John Kerry was absolutely the icebreaker, the lead man on climate change and the Paris Agreement. Donald Trump has said at one time he wanted to tear that agreement up, throw it out. He can't tear it up. We're only one party to it, but he could blow it up by pulling the U.S. out. Is this a death knell for major climate change action if you've got the former chairman and CEO of ExxonMobil at the head of state?
Yeah, I don't think that Tillerson himself is the death knell. I think there are enough other indications. The EPA nominee, for example, is much more concerned there. And Exxon, has been said, has been somewhat ambivalent on the climate change issue, has improved its position, it seems to me, in recent years. It has not been clearly in the vanguard.
No, and hard to tell how deep that goes, or if it's just to have the right color and not to draw fire.
Absolutely right. But I think what you don't want to focus on a particular individual, and especially not the Secretary of state, but rather the administration as a whole. Mm-hmm. And the real danger is not just that we may do damage to the progress that's been made on climate change in the last 8 years, but rather this it affects the entire American reputation as a country that's basically fact, reason, and when appropriate, science-based mm-hmm. in terms of determining its policies. Mm-hmm. If the rest of the world, including Beijing, strongly accepts the science behind this and understands that there are policy decisions that have to be made on that basis, and furthermore understands that it's not, as Tillerson has said, just an engineering problem, although there may be engineering elements to it, that's very bad for the idea that America is basically a smart, sophisticated, advanced society that makes intelligent, reason-based decisions.
Pretty big deal to lose that reputation.
Yeah. I wanted to come back to one other point on the earlier conversation about the confirmation. There may, and I'm speculating, there mm-hmm. may be a deal to be struck here, mm-hmm. all right, which is the other concern, of course, as you mentioned, is the nomination of John Bolton, a mm-hmm. much more controversial figure
very
than
hawkish.
Tillerson. Very mm-hmm. hawkish, mm-hmm. Very controversial, had trouble getting confirmed in some earlier incarnations. Mm-hmm. Now, if Tillerson is as experienced a CEO as we're told, would he want a deputy who's necessarily so controversial?
Bull in a China shop guy.
And who will be very unpopular within the State Department.
Yeah.
Would you want that as your number two in charge of managing the place? This is a sign of his judgment mm-hmm. as Secretary of State and also his clout within a Trump administration.
Yeah.
Can he say to
Donald—
peel
him off.
Exactly. Now, if the Democrats need to knock somebody out, mm-hmm. right, maybe the deal is, look, we'll let Tillerson go through with some, heated moments, caveats and things mm-hmm. like that, but don't bring this guy Bolton forward. Again, that's purely speculative on my part, but as was said earlier in the program, the Democrats have to pick their spots here. They can't simply axiomatically oppose everyone, and they have to decide who's the most trouble.
We got just half a minute here. How big are the challenges for the U.S. right now on foreign policy, where we stand in the eyes of the world, the basket of challenges in front of the next U.S. Secretary of State, whoever it may be?
Well, I think you look sort of everywhere. We have still a war going on with ISIS. We have a war going on in Afghanistan. We have a rising and more assertive China that is already taking advantage of the doubts that have been raised about America's role in Asia. Mm-hmm. Europe is a real problem, and we have a very contentious relationship with Russia right now. I could go on for another minute, mm-hmm. but we're running out of time. Mm-hmm. But the point is, he's going to have a very full plate, and it's not necessarily a set of problems that can be handled with just a few tweets.
No, not tweets, and maybe or maybe not, with a whole lot of oil man experience. But there he is, nominee for U.S. Secretary of State, ExxonMobil Chairman and CEO Rex Tillerson. Stephen Walt, Professor of International Relations at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Terrific to have you with us today. Thank you so much for being here.
Nice to be here.
Listeners, thanks for all your calls and comments online. We're always reading. We're always listening. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.